Hi there, I'm Vincent Boss and I provide dating and self-improvement advice. And in today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the no contact rule, frequently asked questions. So before we get into the podcast, I just want to let you know about my website, dateme.tips. That's www.dateme.tips. Do you need help trying to save your crumbling relationship? Would you like advice on how to try and get your ex back? Or maybe you need an action plan on how to try and get a girlfriend or boyfriend? I provide email coaching on all of these subjects and I can help your specific situation. Visit my website dateme.tips to find out more details. That's www.dateme.tips. You will also find on my site the books that I've written, my clothing range, and other information. Now let's get back to the podcast, which is the no contact rule, frequently asked questions. So if you've been dumped and your relationship is over, then there is a high percentage of people who would like to try and get their ex back. And the best advice you tend to get from everyone who has done any kind of research into this is that they suggest that you implement straight away the no contact rule. Now, the only problem is that there are various versions of a no contact rule and everybody's got their own different take on it. So of course, I've got my own version, which I believe is the most effective way to give you the best possible chance to try and get your ex back. And I go into it in a lot more detail in other podcasts that I've done and the books that I've written. So if you want to know kind of a fuller concept of my no contact strategy, or in general, how to try and get your ex back from A to Z, from A to Z, if you're from where I am in the United Kingdom, then please subscribe to my podcasts and check out my website, because it's not just about the no contact rule. There are many other elements. So let's get into the frequently asked questions that I am asked about the no contact rule. And of course, I'm going to be answering them on the basis of my version of a no contact rule. So question one, how long do I do no contact? So this is a question which you will get a different answer to depending on who you ask, because as I've just said, different people who promote the no contact rule have different versions they like to promote. And one of the main differences between all the versions is how long you sustain no contact. So the only thing we all agree on with this is kind of what it means. So no contact means if you've been dumped, then you do not contact your ex. But the question is, how long do you avoid them for? How long do you not contact them for? So you need to use your common sense on this, because there will always be exceptions, such as if you have children together, or maybe you work in the same place, or maybe if there's an emergency of some kind. But my answer to the question, how long do I do no contact? My answer is that you do it forever until they contact you first. So that could be days, weeks, months, could be a year. It might never be again. You know, there's not a 100% guaranteed magic formula to get your ex back. Nothing is definite. And if they don't contact you again, then it's my opinion that you need to do your best to increase your self-improvement, and eventually you will meet somebody. If you do everything right, you will meet somebody who is a better fit for you than your ex seemed to be. So that's, you know, I've done lots of podcasts on that type of thing. We're not discussing that today. But in the answer to how long do I do no contact for me, the answer is until they contact you. So it's not necessarily days, it's not necessarily weeks, it's literally you wait until you hear from them. And when you do hear from them, then that's when you start to rebuild your connection via conversation and you move things on to the next stage. So you might hear people give different answers to this, such as 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 30 days, you know, that kind of thing. And in their ways, you know, you don't contact them even if they contact you during that period, which I think is nonsense. If your ex reaches out to you, then they are thinking about you, they want to talk to you. In my opinion, you should reply. And similarly, in these other versions, after a certain period of time, they ask you to reach out to your ex. And unless it's very unique circumstances, I do not suggest that. So in general terms, my answer to that question is you will never contact your ex again unless they contact you first. And when they do contact you, that is when you reply and you build the conversation and you move from there. Okay, so let's look at question number two. Why does no contact work? So no contact works because you are taking back the power, so to speak. You are maintaining your value. When you've been dumped, subconsciously, your ex is thinking that they are a higher value to you because they made the decision. They made the decision, you weren't happy about it, but their decision stands. So they're kind of looking down on you in a power sense, not consciously, probably, very much kind of in the back of their mind subconsciously. This is what's happening. They have the power, they make the decision. By doing no contact, what you're subconsciously saying back is, okay, I'm not happy about what you've said, but I accept it, I've moved on, and I'll find someone better. That's kind of what you're saying. Because if you beg and plead and barter with them to take you back, then all you're doing is you're showing how low value you are. You're showing that you're very needy, very desperate. You're basically saying to them, you're better than me. You're better than me, and I need you. And that makes them feel more powerful. If you accept what they've said, yeah, you can say to them, I don't want this to end. You can say to them, please get in touch if you change your mind. And, you know, in fact, I encourage you to kind of say that. But as if you can stay emotionally stable, so you say what you want, but then you literally just walk away from the situation. You know, you don't want it to end, but you accept it has. You let them know to get in touch with you if they change their mind. You stay emotionally stable. You don't go all needy and desperate and emotional in front of them. And you walk away. And what tends to happen is when your ex realizes the grass isn't always greener, when they have their own bump in the road, which might be days, weeks, months, or a year or so down the line, if you've left things in kind of a positive way, if you've left things in the way that you haven't kind of gone crazy at them, you haven't gone too emotional to them, and you've left the door open, then you become an attractive thought of somebody to reach out to once their life isn't going so well. And the value shifts because all of a sudden they'll be thinking, God, you know, maybe I'm not so good. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was because they clearly don't need me. You know, I told them you're dumped, but deep down I expected them to come crawling back and beg and plead. And actually what they've done is nothing like that. Actually what they've done is they've just accepted it. So maybe I'm not that great, and maybe they were a better person than I thought, and I miss them. And you know what you're doing is you're taking the power back and you're increasing your own value. So that is why no contact works, because you're being emotionally stable and you're propositioning yourself as a positive, high-ranking person, because you're seen as somebody who's taken bad news well. You know, you've taken a real big hit emotionally and you've stayed stable. You've been kind of respectful to the whole thing. You don't like the answer, you don't like what's been said, shall I say, but you have accepted it and you've moved on. And that increases your value. And when they have a bump in the road in their own life, they are very likely to want that reassurance because you're not giving it. If you plead them, please come back, you're giving them reassurance. You're making them feel brilliant about themselves. Again, this is all subconscious, but probably don't realize it. But you're giving them value. And if you don't, if you just go, okay, I don't want the relationship to end, please get in touch if you change your mind, but okay, you know, and you go off and that's it, then you are increasing your own value. You're protecting your value. You're not giving it away. And that is why, in essence, no contact works. So let's move on to question number three. And this is the last one I think I'll do in this podcast. I might do another similar podcast in the future with more questions, but Okay, the third most frequently asked question about the no contact rule that I receive is, when should I break no contact? And this links into the first question that we had of how long do I do no contact? When should I break no contact? So as I said at the start, there are some exceptions. And the exceptions mainly are when you have a life that can't be kind of broken by the breakup fully. So if you're working together, for instance, or if you have children together, then there are going to be times where you are going to have to communicate. You know, you need to be an adult in this. You need to be professional. You need to be sensible. If you have children involved, you need to be loving to your children, and you need to kind of give them as much normality as possible during this very difficult time. And acting like an adult and actually being able to communicate in a positive way is something that you're going to need to do if you have children together, if you work together, or maybe you still live together and you can't actually live apart for a time. You know, that is when no contact will be broken. Now, what I would suggest is just keep things to a minimum. You know, don't talk about things you don't have to, per se, again, unless they start the conversation. If they're reaching out about things which aren't necessary, then that's when you can take it as, okay, you know, they want to talk about something on a bit more of a personal level. You know, if you're working together and they're speaking to you about work, then it's about work. If you have children together and they speak to you about the children, it's about the children. But if they then ask you, you know, how your week's been, or whether you watched a certain television program, then, you know, kind of roll with it. But what I would suggest is, don't necessarily do that to them. You know, you don't want to be looking somebody who's really kind of grumpy and upset. And, you know, if anything, you want to be trying to keep as positive a vibe as you can. Happy, positive, go lucky. But don't go over the top with asking, you know, them questions and delving into their life and giving your value away, as we've just spoken about. Obviously, you don't want to be begging and pleading. That would be, you know, horrific. But also, you don't want to be persistently kind of just asking them like nonchalant questions and things just because you're in the same vicinity. Maybe you're working together and, you know, you're speaking about work, and then you're saying, okay, what did you do last week? Or who did you go out with? You know, you don't want to be quizzing them, because all of these things could annoy them. You know, for all you know, they might be in a rebound relationship. It probably won't last, but we don't want you quizzing them about them. You know, just be happy, polite, positive, but don't really delve into their life. Let them delve into yours. And once they do delve into yours, once they do start asking questions which aren't related to your responsibilities, then that is a time where you can start to engage, ask them questions then at that point, and really build the connection again. So in general, I would say you don't break no contact unless they speak to you first. So if you're in an instance where you will have to communicate, then make sure you're being professional, make sure you're being polite, make sure you're being positive. Don't come across as grumpy. Don't come across as angry or argumentative, or somebody who's just looking really, you know, why would anybody want to be with somebody who's looking sad, depressed, angry, frustrated? Nobody wants to spend their time with somebody like that. So you can't act like that. Even if you feel like it inside, you need to try in their presence to look positive. You know, if you're looking happy and, you know, you say hello and, you know, then you get on with the rest of your day and you're looking happy, they might say, oh, you know, you're looking good, you're looking happy, what have you been up to? And that is where a conversation could start. Whereas if you're sitting there, head down, not saying a word until they speak to you about work whilst you're in the office together, then that's giving off a really bad vibe, and that is not going to help your chances. You've just got to be professional, but don't go over the top until they invest in you, until they, what I like to call, hook on you. And when I say hook, I basically mean when they start asking you questions about you and your life, which aren't necessary. They're not necessary to do with any responsibilities. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I'll do another one soon if people liked it. So let me know, and I hope you all have a great day.